Bibles, or if you guys have your Bible app on your phone, turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, verses 15 through 21. Philippians chapter 3, starting from verse 15. It says here, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. In the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul he shares with us the gospel message. He shares with us what the gospel message really means to him. And he shared about the way that it has impacted his life, both in the way that he viewed his life and also in the way that he lived his life. It's changed the entire system of how he viewed the things of the world. And last week, Pastor Tung, he spoke of the transforming power that's found in the gospel message and how this message transformed our entire being from the inside out. He spoke of how the Holy Spirit, he really comes into our lives and takes the broken things in our lives and he begins to transform them and redeem them and heal them. And our passage today continues from that theme of transformation. Okay, so let's commit our time to God today. So would you guys pray with me? Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for just our time here in the book of Philippians and how you are constantly teaching us and how you are transforming our lives from the inside. And I just pray right now that our hearts and our ears would just be attentive to what you have in store for us. And Father God, we also want to spend a little time just praying for the guys who aren't here, praying for just the entire youth staff who's over at Clay Elum right now. Lord, may you continue to enrich their lives. May you continue to speak into their hearts about how to reach these youth right here that are amongst us here in our church. And every single year, it's always something new. It's always something, exciting. And I just pray, Lord, that that you would be speaking to them, Lord. And maybe it's also a time of not just refocus, but a time of refreshment for them as well. So I pray, Lord, that you would refresh them. And as the school year starts right here, I also want to pray for all the students that are out here, Lord, many of whom, in both elementary, middle, and high school, they've already started school already. And so I want you to be praying for them, Lord, and just pray, Lord, that you would just give them just a vision of what to expect for this upcoming school year. May you enrich their lives. And as the college kids, come back together for UW, and as well as BCC and as well as all the other colleges around here, Lord, may you be blessing their time, Lord, as well, as they just kind of wind summer down and get ready for school. And so just pray, Lord, for just your blessing upon their lives. And God, we just want to just lift up today's message to your hands, Lord. Just may you bless just the speaking and the reading of your word. And so pray all this in your name. Amen. This passage that we're going to be looking at today begins here by saying, all of us who are mature, all of us who are mature. And automatically I'm thinking to myself, is Paul talking to me here? Is he talking to me? All of us who are mature? Am I one of those guys? Am I one of the mature guys that Paul is talking to here? And if Paul isn't talking to me, Is the stuff what, you know, is the stuff that Paul's about to share with us, is it going to be even applicable to me at all? Who are these mature people that Paul is speaking to? You know, is he talking to the entire church here at Philippi, or is he only talking to those who have reached a certain, I don't know, kind of a elite level in their faith? The word mature here contains the meaning of someone who is full grown in both mind and their understanding of the gospel message. Paul here is speaking to those who have a firm understanding of what this message means to them. They're people who no longer require, you know, other people to kind of help feed them, to kind of help nourish them, to kind of help them along with their walk. But they've learned. They've learned how to grow spiritually themselves. They've learned how to nourish themselves. They're people who have disciplined themselves to be able to learn and to be able to seek after God. So do you consider yourself a person who has a firm understanding of the gospel message? Do you have a firm understanding of the faith that you have? All of us who are mature should take such a view of these things. The things that Paul is talking about here are the things that Pastor Tung talked about last week. Do you believe in your heart? Do you believe that God is able to transform our lives? Do you believe that God can transform your life? Do you believe that God is able to come in and to be able to clean out the ugly and the unclean things that kind of lie beneath the surface of our life? The ugly and unclean things that we don't want anybody, you know, not even our closest friends, our spouse, things that we don't want anybody to be able to see. You know, do you believe that God is able and willing to come in and clean up our lives and transform us? All of us who are mature. Paul here, he's speaking to those of us who are mature, to those of us who have a clear understanding of what it means. And if we are able to say these things, I hope that our answer is yes. Is yes, we do believe that God is able to come, that we believe that God is able to come and transform and redeem us. Transformation, it doesn't come because of our own effort, but it comes in the form of grace. It's in our nature to think that we're pretty, you know, kind of just self-sufficient in our lives. We think that we're able to really do everything ourselves. It's either try harder, spend more time, or, you know what, we just need to be a little bit more disciplined. But I also believe that there are certain things in our lives that we're just unable to accomplish, unable to do just by ourselves. And these are the types of things that lie deep within the surface, that lies deep within our hearts. And if we want transformation, we need to be able to take those things that are hidden, to be able to take the things that are deep within, and to be able to bring them to the surface, and to be able to bring them up to God. Paul speaks here to the mature, those of us who have a firm understanding. But there's also great hope. There's also great hope for us, some of us who aren't quite there yet. There's hope for us, for those of us who can't quite say that we're at the level of maturity that Paul speaks of right here. And it says here, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Now, for some reason, whether you don't quite believe that God is able to come or God is unable to transform our lives, God is saying right here that he is able to make those things clear to you, because this is something that he desires for all of us. He desires to transform life for us. But we also have our own share of responsibility as well. Verse 16 says this: only let us live up to what we have already attained. You know, I've always, I've been, for those of you guys who don't know, I've been actually a little bit away from full-time ministry for the past 2 years now. You know, before that, you know, we had spent about 6 years down at Kent Chinese Alliance Church down over in Kent. And, you know, it felt like God, you know, was kind of leading us in a slightly different direction. And, you know, we're still kind of just seeking where God is leading us. But, you know, we've been away from church for, or we've been away, not from church. We've been away from full-time ministry for about 2 years now. And, you know, it's just how crazy how time just kind of flies. And, you know, there's definitely a tugging in our hearts to definitely go back into ministry. And we miss being there. We miss being part of a church community. But as a result of us not being there in full time over the last 2 years, I actually have not had a whole lot of time or opportunity to play guitar. Okay, I love being able to lead worship. I love being able to play guitar. But haven't had a whole lot of just opportunity in the last 2 years to be able to do a whole lot. So as a result, you know, my guitar kind of just sits over there. It just kind of sits in the corner of, you know, our home office, and, you know, every now and then it actually does collect dust, okay? And so, it's always there, just kind of waiting for me to come and to be able to come and just play. And it's just sitting there waiting for me. But I just haven't had a whole lot of opportunity. I'm sure many of us here have also had skills and talents that we put into practice, but for one reason or another, we stop. For one reason or another, we just stop doing those things. You know, like for me, I just kind of just stopped playing my guitar. And for those of us, you know, those talents and opportunities are sitting there in the corner waiting for us to be able to come and utilize them once again. But they lay there unused and missed opportunities. I used to be able to run up and down playing basketball. You know, nowadays, you know, I'm pretty satisfied with just a game of horse. But as a result, you know, whatever basketball or lack thereof basketball game that I did have, you know, it no longer comes as natural anymore. Even as I'm playing horse, it just doesn't come as natural anymore. You know, I used to think that I was pretty good at driving, especially coming to that, you know, Montlake parking lot, you know, onto Montlake right there back in college. I used to drive pretty good, because that used to be a really crazy turn right there. But for one reason or another, over the last several years, I just haven't had a whole lot of opportunity to drive long distances. You know, everything was pretty convenient, you know, just running down to the grocery store down the street. You know, church was not that far away. And eventually, you know, I just start losing some skills in driving. I believe, okay, you know, I've discovered that when we do something less and less, you know, our skills, our endurance, our even our enjoyment of that particular activity, it begins to diminish. But sometimes all it takes is a little nudge and some of that excitement comes back. And at other times, it just doesn't, you know, because of lack of exercise, because of lack of utilizing those gifts, some of those skills don't really come back anymore. And I believe that we can kind of say the same things about the things that we've learned from God over the years. That if we don't use it, if we don't abide by the things that we've learned from God, if we don't hear from God, if we don't learn from God, we'll start to lose it. We'll start to lose some of these things. You know, first, you know, we'll start to forget about it. You know, and the worst thing of all, okay, worst thing of all that can ever happen to any of us is that we might actually start to disregard it, to disregard the things that we've learned from God. And as transformed followers of Jesus, you know, we need to live up. We need to continue to walk with God. We need to live up to the things that we have already attained. The first thing that Paul wants us to recognize here as believers, and that's the first blank in your outline, is that we need to live up. We need to live up to the things that God has already taught us. Live up to what we already know. To be able to practice and do the things that we do know and not worry about necessarily the things that we don't, you know, but concentrate on the things that we do know and to live up to those things and practice those things. You know, I kind of look out here in this room, you know, and I see a lot of people who have known Jesus for a pretty long time, you know. And if some of you, you know, because I don't know the entire room right here, if some of you who have just recently come to know Jesus, you know, I just want to welcome you guys into this family right here. You're going to be in for a pretty wild ride. But if you look left and to your right, you'll see a lot of people who have known Jesus for a long time. For the guys that I grew up with, you know, they've known Jesus for at least 20 years. You know, I started coming to church when I was in middle school. That's when I started coming to church, and that's when I came to know Jesus. And over the years, I feel like I've attained just a vast amount of knowledge. I never went to children's Sunday school. I never went to children's church because by middle school, you know, it's something different. You know, but somehow over the years, I learned all these different children's Bible stories. You know, as I've grown up, you know, we've also gone through various book studies over the years. Things that were written by Don Whitney and Philip Yancey and Henry Blackaby and John Piper and all these other authors. We've gone through all these different book studies. I've also gone through a lot of, you know, in-depth Bible studies as well. For example, you know, I've gone through the book of John and the book of Ephesians. And just out of curiosity right here, just a raise of hands, how many of you guys right here have gone through some type of in-depth Bible study through a book of the Bible? Now, raise them high, guys. All right, look around. That's a lot of people here in this room. And to me, that shows that's a lot of knowledge as well. That's a lot of knowledge that we have all attained, you know, throughout the years. You know, I might not have studied a certain book or a certain topic, but you guys have. And as a group, we have accumulated so much knowledge. So much knowledge. My encouragement to us here isn't to necessarily to try harder in order to know more, because as you can see, a lot of us already know a lot. But my encouragement here to us here is to continue to strive after and to learn from God and to follow Jesus. It's not about the amount of knowledge that we have, but it's what we do with that knowledge and whether or not we're willing to allow God to use that knowledge to be able to change us and to be able to transform us. It's not about doing a lot of things okay. It's about doing those few things that God has taught us and to be able to do it well. I would imagine that God would much rather have us living a life that's fully changed rather than trying to have temporary change in our lives and then a month later or a couple months later, our lives begin to revert back to what it used to be. He would rather have us have long-lasting, life-changing change in our lives. Sustained change. I mean, think about that right now. Think about all the different things that God has taught you in the past. If there was one thing, if there was one truth that God has taught you in the past, that he would want you to do well, what would that be? If God has taught you one thing in your life that he wants you to truly excel at, what would that be? Somebody told me once that that we need to be able to extend grace to everybody and to not take things personally. This was the one big kind of thing that kind of keeps coming back to my mind over the years. It's probably not the most important thing that God has taught me, but something that it's a principle that God has wanted me to continue to exercise whenever I find a situation that I can do it. If you've ever been part of a team, you could probably understand why it's so hard to always extend grace to the other person. You know, for all the middle schoolers and high schoolers, you can think of it as working on a school project. And for those of us who work, you know, think of it as, you know, working on a project with other coworkers. You know, for myself, this principle really came front and center as I work with brothers and sisters within the church. It's not easy to work within a team, especially when everybody kind of has their own opinion. Everybody has their own thoughts as to how things ought to work, about how things needed to be emphasized. It's not easy working with different personalities within a group. But God, you know, he's encouraging me, really, to be able to extend grace to those guys, to be able to extend grace to those around me. You know, it happens when students, you know, serve here on core staff. It happens, you know, even up here on stage with worship team members, you know, trying to have their own opinions. You know, I've served in all these different ministries within the church, and, you know, everything, we need to always continue to extend grace. And that's the one thing that God has taught me over the years. Wouldn't it be so much easier? Wouldn't life be so much easier if we're able to do this? To think of each other in the best light instead of in its worst. That we're all on the same page to be able to grow God's kingdom together. This is all but one lesson that God has impressed on my heart. You know, what's the thing that God has impressed on you? What's the one thing that God wants you to continue to excel at? The second thing here in this passage that Paul teaches us is that as followers, we need to be able to join others and join up with others who are like-minded and to be discerning of those who aren't. Verse 17 begins by saying, "I join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you." We need to follow, and we need to be able to emulate those who faithfully walk next to God. We need to be able to gravitate toward those who have studied the Word and understand what it means, really, to be a follower of Jesus. You know, these people, they don't necessarily have to have it all put together, because none of us really do, you know. But some of us are a little further along, and some of us, you know, really understand what it means to live out this transformed life, and we ought to be able to gravitate toward those people. Who are those people in our lives? Are there people in your life where if they were to come up to you and they were to ask you, "Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing?" Would you be able to come out and truthfully tell them how your life is really going? Or are we going to just say, you know, things are fine. Things are fine. But I think every one of us need people in our lives who are able to come up to us and ask how we're doing, where we're able to really say, you know what, this week has been really horrible. You know, all these crazy things have been bombarding me at work, and I don't really know what to do. You know, we need people in our lives where we can truthfully and be able to come out and to be able to share with them. For students, you know, these people could be your counselors. You know, they're just not around just to for you to be able to hang out with. You know, they're not just there just be teaching you guys. But they're there, and they want to be able to help you. They want to be in relationship with you and to be able to help you grow. for people who are here that have kids. You know, we need people in our lives that can speak into us, who can help us redirect our lives and refocus our lives, especially during those times when maybe we focus a little too much on our kids and we forget about God. We need people in our lives who are able to help us to anchor our lives. These are the people that we need. In Psalm 119, it says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. How many of us have truly embraced these words? And not only have embraced it, but have applied it. These are the people that we want in our lives. These are the people that we want to become, to be able to have the word ingrained in our lives. And if for whatever reason we don't hold on to this principle right here of just following God, you know, God will make those things clear to us of how important it is. Paul prays for us, and we pray for each other here as a church. I wish I was one of those guys who is just utterly, you know, devoted to studying the word. But it's hard. But I look up to those guys around us who do, who read the word, you know, first thing in the morning, who spends time in prayer. And I'm like, man, how do these guys do it? Those are the type of guys I look up to. Those are the types of guys I seek after and gravitate towards and ask them for advice in my life. You know, these are my champions. These are the guys that I look up to. So while on the one hand, Paul wants us to follow and emulate those around us who follow Christ, you know, we also need to be discerning. Discerning of people who aren't. As much as we'd like for to always follow the right people around us aren't necessarily the people that we need, aren't necessarily the mature people that Paul is speaking of right here. There are times when our eyes and our hearts, they trick us. Sometimes our eyes tell us, you know what, we've been friends for a long time. How can we go wrong, right? We've been friends for a long time. And we've seen how they love Jesus. But then underneath, they are far, far away. We need to be careful who we surround ourselves with, because the people that we see on the outside might not really be the people that we want to desire to be on the inside. If you want to continue to be like those around us, then continue to hang out with them. You know, if those are the people that you want to be, that you know, that you look up to be spiritually, then continue to look up to hang out with them. But if you want to be more, if you want to, you know, for your walk with God to continue to rise, we need to surround ourselves with others. You know, take for example, you know, looking for mentors and stuff. If you want to move up quick at work, you can only learn so much from books. You can only learn so much from the coworkers right next to you. But if you surround yourselves with people who have been there for a long time, who have the experience, you know, and shadow them, you'd be able to learn so much more and to be able to grow so much more at work. And the same thing applies in our spiritual lives as well. We need to be able to follow the right people. And when we don't, Paul's heart, it breaks. It breaks for those who continue to follow those who are far away from Christ. Verses 18 and 19 says this, for as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. We either follow God or we follow the world. We either engage in things that are temporary or we engage in things that are eternal. And Paul weeps for those who continue to engage in things that are just temporary in this life. Paul weeps for people who engages in activities that are temporary, who are self-seeking and only provides, you know, look after those things that only provide for immediate relief here at this time. We really need to be able to take a big step back to see what kind of activities are beneficial to us. You know, sometimes relaxing in front of a TV is great. You know, I do it a lot. I do it probably a little too much. Okay? It's so easy. You come home from work and, you know, you just want to be able to relax a little bit, have dinner, watch a little TV, and that'll be it. That'll be it for me, for my night. But every now and then, we need to be able to help prioritize things and say to ourselves, what other things does God want me to engage in? What other activities does God want me to do besides watching TV? If our desire is to emulate Christ, and if our desire is to emulate those around us and to be able to follow Christ, then we need to evaluate the way that we really spend our time. And we really need to evaluate what we prioritize in our lives. And to not allow those things to deter us from our goal of becoming like Christ. The last thing that I want to kind of touch on today is this, that as followers, we need to recognize that our world is still yet to come. 20 and 21 says this, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. This life is grueling. None of us here have perfect lives. None of us have perfect relationships. But we desire transformation and we desire intimacy with others. But in the end, we won't fully realize what this really looks like, what this really means, and what this really means until we reach heaven. But God has allowed us to experience some of these things here today, some of what transformation looks like here today. If we place our eyes on Jesus, and if we place our eyes on the kingdom of God, and if we place our eyes on the future right here, on the future world that we'll be living in, that in itself will help guide our lives. I mean, doesn't everything else seem small in comparison? Doesn't everything around us sound a little bit more insignificant, irrelevant, or even trivial? When we just take a step back, and I use my TV illustration just because I watch a little too much TV, and it's a good reminder here for me, you know, there are so much more things that I could be doing. You know, watching TV, you know, could become a little bit more significant. Playing my games on my phone could begin to start a little bit more, you know, seem a little bit smaller, a little bit less priority. There's definitely a lot more to look forward to in the world to come. And the way that it impacts our lives here today is that we need to kind of have a bigger perspective. And it's good for us to take a step back every now and then to really see, to really gain a better, bigger perspective on what life looks like. This is not our world. You know how sometimes, you know, we go on vacation and we have a great time, and sometimes we wish that we could just stay there. You know, we wish we could just be able to go and stay in Hawaii, wish we could go and stay in Cabo or in Paris or in all these other places that isn't here. You know, we wish we could go and stay there because we had such a great time over there. You know, that's kind of the way that we treat this world that we live in sometimes. We love just kind of being on vacation. We love to indulge while we're on these vacations. And then when it's time to go home, it's all over. Man, we could have one of two reactions here. We could either be like, man, I can't wait to go home. Or we can have the reaction of, man, I wish I could stay longer and play a little longer eat a little bit more, have a little bit more fun. Every single time we come home from vacation, we have one of two choices to make right there. You know, our perspective of this world that we live in right here should be more in line with looking forward to going home. Not necessary to continue to stay on vacation and to have fun and to indulge and do all those things. You know, but our perspective should be like, man, I'm looking forward to coming home. But the thing that, you know, is very different from coming home from vacation is this, is that our future home in heaven is going to be so much more better than the home here. It's going to be so much more than the vacation that we left behind. That's the heaven that we have to look forward to. As good as home is here and as good as our vacations are here, heaven is so much better. So Paul shares with us three things here, and he kind of concludes his thoughts on transformation. First and foremost, we need to know that internal transformation only happens by the grace of God. Only way it happens is when the Holy Spirit comes and changes from the inside. It's not of our own efforts, but God working inside of us. And there are three things that Paul shares with us here. First, as followers, we need to live up to the things that God has taught us. You know, what good is it if we desire change in our lives, but yet continue to forget the person that we want to become? We need to continue to learn. We need to continue to live up to the things that God has taught us. You know, it's pretty simple. Just pick one thing, one simple thing that God has taught you to be able to excel at and to continue to strive for that. Second thing here is that we need to remember to join and connect with those around us and pursue after Jesus hard together. If we desire transformation, we need to surround ourselves with such people to emulate those who also exhibit Christ-likeness. And on the flip side, we need to be weary and be discerning of those that we allow into our hearts who may not have necessarily the best influence in our lives. And lastly, we need to recognize that this is not our world. This is not our world, and that we should focus our eyes really on the things to come, on things that are eternal and not temporary. If our eyes continue to be on this world, then our values will continue to reflect those of this world. But if we kind of switch our eyes, switch our minds, and continue to focus on the world to come, our values will also change as well. Maturity comes, really, from following Jesus. We need to continually examine and re-examine our lives to see what else we need to be able to surrender to God. And it's only when we surrender that change happens in our lives. You know, we continue to struggle, and there continue to be things that keep us away from Him. But let us continue to kind of take a step back to be able to examine and really take a step forward and to be able to seek after the transformed life that God wants for us. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for just today that we get to be able to hear a little bit more about the life that you desire for us, about the life that you want for us. You want for us to be able to have a transformed life. Lord, may we surround ourselves with people who are Christ-like. May we remember the things that you've taught us. Lord, maybe there is that one lesson or those two or three lessons that you want us to be able to hold strongly onto, and to be able to just continue to apply into our lives. And so, Father God, I just pray, Lord, that you would just help us to grow. Help us, Lord, to be able to be transformed. And so, Father, we thank you for just your message here this morning. So pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all stand together. Thank you. You.